96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's a Sports Friday with Eric Sawyer the third. It's Friday the 19th of April. Calling on spooky vibes. It's Friday the 19th of April 2024, and you're on the clock with Aaron Green on the Sports Friday. I've got two guests hopefully joining me this morning. One is, of course, Eric Sawyer the third, so we can talk all things NBA, all things play-in tournament, playoff tournament, the end of the regular season. And then Stanley Mitchell is joining me to provide some context about organizing sports events in the Caribbean and I guess also in small island developing states. I await his arrival eagerly. There's lots to talk about in the interim. Some sporting news. Big Red Machine just keeps rolling. Last weekend, the 2024 National High School Track and Field Championships rocked the Thomas A. Robinson Stadium. The St. Augustine's College, that SAC, Big Red Machine, kept rolling at the championships where they claimed 6 out of 8 division victories on Sunday evening. Additionally, SAC had 3 relay teams book their trips to the 2024 Penn Relays set for April 25th through 27th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The C.H. Reeves Raptors and Tabernacle Baptist Academy Falcons also left the Nationals with 1 divisional trophy apiece. SAC secured division wins in the under 15 divisions, male and female, under 17 divisions, male and female, and under 20 divisions, male. The Raptors earned bragging rights in the female under 13 division, and the Falcons emerged as victors in the under 13 male division over the weekend. The Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture provided incentives to under 20 relay teams competing in the 4x1 and the 4x4 events. The top teams were awarded a trip to the Penn Relays. The Big Red Machine had 3 relay teams make the mark. The relay team of Zaria Stapleton, Bailey Major, Naya Wright, and Alexis Roberts booked their spot at the Penn Relays in 46.9 seconds in the under 20 girls 4x1 finals. Dominique Dean, Roberts, DeVay Farrington, and Wright got the job done in the under 20 girls 4x4 relay, winning the event with a time of 3 minutes 48.99 seconds. Siobhan Nixon, Jacario Wilson, Morgan Moss, and Egan Neely worked together and finished 18.59 seconds in the under 20 boys 4x4 finals, and the Comets team of Ishmael Roll, Everett Frazier, Zion Davis, and Jonathan Harris ran a swift time of 41.61 seconds in the under 20 boys 4x1 event. For additional meet results, visit techresults.net. That's TechResults.net. Next up for track is the 2024 Penn Relays, scheduled for April 25th through 27th. Again, as always, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So first of all, we say congratulations again to SAC, proving itself to be a sporting powerhouse once again. And I guess from the Comet Nation, we say congratulations. Well done, well done. And to all of the teams that qualified for the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture's prize, support going to the Penn Relays, congratulations. Here's another quick story. Bahamian marathoner makes International Hall of Fame. This is in this week's Nassau Tribune. During the 128th running of the Boston Marathon on Sunday past, another Bahamian marathon runner etched his name into the marathon record books. Veteran distance runner Michael Cunningham of New Providence became only the seventh Bahamian to earn the title six-star finisher by completing the Boston Marathon, his final race in the Six Abbott World Marathon Majors Series. He says, "It was my most challenging marathon to date. There were many hills with smaller inclines, including the infamous Heartbreak Hill at mile 21. However, I'll do it again. Lesson learned, include more hill runs in my training." The Boston Marathon drew about 30,000 runners from 129 countries and hundreds of thousands of spectators. World Marathon Majors comprise the six most prestigious races in the world: London, Berlin, Tokyo, New York, Chicago, and Boston Marathons. Earning the six-star medal is considered the Hall of Fame in marathon running. As of December of last year, 2023, there were only 12,772 six-star medal holders worldwide. By contrast, about 1.1 million runners complete a marathon each year. That's 0.01% of the world's population. There may need to be a couple more zeros in there, I'm not sure. Very interesting. Cunningham, who started running over 30 years ago, has completed more than 30 certified international marathons and just as many half marathons. At the age of 66, he says, "I am actually running at my peak and still improving. My next goal is to complete a marathon on all seven continents of the globe. In June, he'll compete in the Rio de Janeiro Marathon, leaving only three more continents to complete." We say, good on you. Good on you, Cunningham. At the age of 66, you are doing better than the vast majority of us, and you are an inspiration to us all. I'm going to get into today's paper. I guess I want to give Mr. Mitchell and Mr. Sawyer a bit more time before I get into those topics. Pinder signs with the Rangers. That's in today's Nassau Guardian. Bahamian youngster said, hey, producer, let's check that phone line. Bahamian youngster said he is looking forward to the opportunity. One of the top baseball outlets in the country continues to push out incredible talent, leading them to the doorstep of professional opportunities. Producer, is that a call? There you go. Good morning, caller.
Well, hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Something that I know, 2 days for certain, we got to be aiming in the playoffs this year.
That's
the Heel and the Sixers are definitely in the playoffs this year.
Good morning. What a time to be alive. We have two Bahamians in the playoffs this year, hey?
So?
We've got Kai Jones, who's been signed to the Clippers.
We had a video. And a video went out for him and the Clippers. Yes, that's right.
Absolutely.
Born-headed Kai.
The Clippers are Ah, there you go. The Clippers are holding the fourth seed in the West.
Yeah, that's right. But we finally got to see what it looked like when Embiid backing somebody down and throw that ball out to Buddy.
Right.
3-point shot is all Buddy know.
I mean, he knows more than that, but boy, does he know that 3-pointer.
Yeah, Lord. Boy, did it look good. Boy, did it look good going there.
So, look here, let's do a run through of the regular season and the Eastern Conference. The Hawks made the cut.
Yeah, they made the play and they got beat, though.
Yeah, but not for long.
No, not for long. No, the Bulls beat them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In the Western Conference, the Warriors made the cut at the 10th spot, but they are also.
Yeah, they also out of it because, you know, and let's be honest, Draymond Green caused that. You had the choking incident with the Jazz and
exactly
games, and then the big punch in the head to the fella from the Suns that cost him about 20 plus games. That's 30 games this season.
So Draymond missed 30 plus games this season.
Yeah, man, and he's the starter for their offense. He's their point forward. He's their modern-day, you know, Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
And if he's not on the court to get the ball flowing to the wings, to these curls off of screen, 3-point shots for Curry and for Klay, then the offense just don't run. And they got a bunch of new players. And, you know, if you know full well that your teammate is somebody that just punched the complete center direction out of Jordan Poole just last year.
Mm-hmm.
You scared to play with him.
To play with him or against him?
No, you're scared to play with him. This is your teammate who knocked out another teammate last year. Just last year.
True.
And you guys were defending champions and just practicing come for the upcoming season.
But that didn't come out of the blue. That incident didn't come out of the blue.
No, it didn't come out of the blue. But, you know, TM's trash talk and whatnot. Like, I heard another trash talking story that Jimmy Butler was trash talking Tyler Hero on the bus ride home after the Heat got beat from the Sixers.
Right.
And he kept saying, 9 for 27, 9 for 27. You went 9 for 27, in relation to his field goal percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler Hero swung to try to hit Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler then said, 9 for 28.
Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible. We cannot laugh at that. Jimmy Butler, that's horrible, man. That's poor sportsmanship.
He won't be playing tonight, though. He's out tonight.
But listen, did the fans, did the league have the same attitude when LeBron unceremoniously released Westbrook from the team in that locker room talk? And isn't that the same thing as smack talk? And how come LeBron doesn't get that type of heat from other players when he's doing the same thing?
Well, LeBron has too much heat from not even players, from people around the world, namely the LeBron haters in the Bahamas that love this line. In my opinion, listen, what I say it is that blah, 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 blah. You guys have never played 1 second of organized ball. You guys haven't played ball in high school, college, the pros. You guys don't even know how to play NBA. But yet you'll sit down and jump up and down in these groups and these bars and these restaurants and these barbershops and say, but LeBron ain't this and LeBron ain't that. Listen, Jordan is the greatest player. Is the greatest player the NBA has ever seen. But I need for people to get off of their high horse and think that he only played 6 seasons because he has 6 rings. What about the other 9 seasons he didn't win a ring?
Oh yeah, I have no place for that idea that there is no critique for MJ. Right?
Isaiah Thomas does not. Isaiah Thomas thinks that Jordan is beneath him because Jordan never beat him until he was ready to be beaten. Jordan never beat him.
And
Larry Bird had to get a back injury first.
And the same thing happened.
Magic played him without James Worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody speaks about how, you know, Magic only was one superstar playing against the young upstart Chicago Bulls that was the start of the big three with him, Scottie Pippen, and Horace Grant. Nobody speaks about how Magic was playing. Just him one.
Yeah.
You know, on the team. There was no Byron Scott. There was no James Worthy in the 1991 NBA Finals. But y'all will jump up and down and say, oh, well, you know, well, LeBron, he had beat the Spurs, you know. It was only, yeah, but it was only him on the team.
Well,
man, if he's the king, he's supposed to win.
I tell you what, LeBron is worthy of praise because I didn't think the Lakers were going to pull it out.
I didn't think so either. And to be honest, me being a LeBron fan, I really wanted them to lose the first game so that way they could beat the winner of the second game and get the Thunder in the first round. So that way, you know, because the Thunder, I mean, they're young, they're upstart, they're doing very well in the number one seed in the West. But let's be honest, when the lights get very, very bright, only Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is going to score. Which means that's a cakewalk for whoever decides that they can come through them.
All right, so...
But the Lakers won, and they will take on the Nuggets. And I would have all the haters out there to understand, because you know they can come and say, oh, when the Nuggets sweep Braun last year, 4-0, what about that? Hey, the combined score was 9 points in 4 games.
But not just that. That last year's Lakers team was very shaky, pulling itself back together.
Exactly. And this Nuggets roster is not the 2023 Nuggets roster.
Yeah.
Certain players are not there. Bruce Brown is not there. Especially Bruce Brown.
Well, listen, I got plenty questions for you. Let's do a rundown of the seeding for the regular season. Celtics closed the season with 14 points more, 14 games more than the Knicks in second place with a 64-18 record. Is that an indication that Celtics are going to take the East?
It's an indication, but, you know, as we've seen before in the past, Celtics have an opportunity. They have the uncanny ability to choke when most opportune.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, but the Bucks look like they can be without Giannis for a while.
Why?
We'll see how long that. Huh?
Why? Tell me why.
He has a we have an ankle problem.
Man, tape that up.
Sorry, not ankle problem. He have a pulled.
A pull muscle situation.
A pull calf.
Ah.
And this is the same injury that happened to KD in 2019.
But listen, is Tiger Bomb not allowed in the league? Tiger Bomb,
I think that calf. But Tiger Bomb is not something that can help this particular injury. It has to heal itself. And seeing that he has to use his calf a lot more than most players. A lot. I mean, all players use their calves.
But because of his physical...
somebody that springs off of them and makes moves off of them, and if one of them should so happen to rupture.
So listen, though, with his attitude all year, his attitude down, right? Can he sit on the bench? Will Giannis be able to come back next season and have any mouth, say anything to anybody, in particular his coaches, his managerial team? Will he be able to do that if he doesn't tough it out and play this year out? And is this his last opportunity? Should he take the risk that coming off of this injury...
It's not his last opportunity. Come on, he already has a finals MVP. He already has a ring. But their coach is the Achilles heel of their team. You know, no pun intended.
Man, listen, I'm a Bahamian. You can't tell me the coach is the problem. Or you can tell me the coach don't play.
Doc Rivers is the problem. He's not getting his fellas up the way he should be to play ball. They should have never got rid of their last coach, their rookie coach. They got rid of the coach too soon.
All right. Suns on the Western side, our boy Eric Gordon with the Suns. They're in sixth place, but Eric is on the injury. At least he was on the injury list for the last game of the regular season. Said he had a migraine. And I don't know about that. See, Buddy Hield managed to be the first player in 19 years to play 84 games. Buddy Hield say, listen, I know my regular season over. Let me pick up two extra games. Because they make Gordon sit out the last game of the regular season saying he had a migraine. Is that for positioning? How many of these teams lost, were tempted to, or coaches, they say, look here, we could lose this game because it'll give us better positioning in the playoffs? Or was nobody taking that risk?
Most teams were already locked in, especially the Western Conference. Most teams were already locked in.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a case of just making sure to get through the game as injury-free as possible.
Okay.
You know, I saw a joke online saying that Kevin Durant finally got a haircut, so now it's over. for the team he got to play against, because, you know.
Once he get that haircut, he's locked in.
Yeah.
All right. I'm so sad to see the Warriors go. Tonight is the eighth seed games for the Western and the Eastern Conference. Sacramento, that's Kings, right? That's my King.
Yeah.
Kings versus Pelicans.
I actually glad that we won our play-in game because those Kings look good.
Yeah.
They fast and they hungry and they upset last. They upset over last first round. They're very upset.
As they should be. They should be. In the Eastern Conference, Chicago versus Miami, this may be the hottest game of the playoffs.
It's going to be a dogfight. There's no Jimmy Butler. You know, somebody else for the Heat is out as well.
Why is Jimmy out?
He have a bad knee.
See, this is what I'm saying. You can't spend half the year with a perm. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a man perming his hair. Ask Barry White. But you can't spend half the season with a perm and then talk about you not going to play the most important game so far in the season because you have a bad knee. Borrow a knee.
Yeah. No, man. He hurt the knee in the first quarter of the last game against the Sixers. This is a new injury. Brando.
Okay. All right. So,
Brando.
The playoff brackets. Celtics are going to play whoever wins between Chicago and Miami.
Yeah, they got to play the Bulls. They got to play in the Bulls.
Right.
Miami's going to have a good fight, but they don't necessarily have the firepower to be the Bulls team that plays as a team. You know, the Bulls don't really have a bona fide point guard. Yeah, they have DeMar DeRozan, but they don't have any other even close to star, much less superstar.
Absolutely.
But they do play as a team. They play hard.
Good stuff. Cavaliers versus Magic in the fourth and fifth seed, respectively. Blazers third and sixth seed, respectively. Uh-huh. Knicks versus 76ers, second and seventh seed, respectively. I did not expect to see the Knicks in the second seed at the end of this regular season.
I did not. They were supposed to get the third seed, but the Bucks lost out the last two games, and the Knicks won out the last two games. But don't worry about it. If the Sixers play the way they should have, the way they are capable of playing before the Embiid injury, these Knicks go on in five.
Where's Harden?
Harden playing with the Clippers.
Harden playing with the Clippers. That's Kai and Harden. Okay, Harden, you on my team now. I can't trash talk. He's getting ready to trash talk him. Never mind. In the Western Conference, we've got Thunder. They're going to play whoever wins between Sacramento and New Orleans. Then Clippers and Mavericks, fourth and fifth, respectively. Timberwolves and Suns, third and sixth, respectively. And Nuggets versus Lakers, second and seventh, respectively. Two quick stories, Mr. Sawyer, and a couple of texts before we transition into the world of track and field organizing.
I just remembered. Good morning goes out firstly to all of the Niners out there who listen. Bang, bang.
Niner gang. Okay.
You know? And good morning also goes out to my good friend. You know, he said, don't call his real name. Mm-hmm. Morning, Smokey. What's going on, brother?
Absolutely. Since we right there, Mr. Sawyer is in physically and technically challenging sports. I am now a hopscotch expert. I don't know who sent that text to you, but I've been missing you, Mr. Sawyer, because I think the rowing club is having its first row exhibition or competition, and I wanted to go down there and row with them about the proper pronunciation of the sport. But let's get into this story.
Yeah.
Heald makes playoffs for the first time in his career. He's got in with the 76ers. They now occupy the seventh spot. We say, well on you, buddy. That's what you get with hard work and dedication. With teams wanting you. They want you to be playing with them. And you've proven yourself over these years. We say congratulations. And then another quick story, Kai Jones signs with the Clippers after the 10-day contract with the 76ers, hamstring injury. He now has an opportunity, A, to play in the playoffs, and B, to win a ring. We say congratulations, Kai. Keep focus. Just stay focused.
On both sides, you know, if the Sixers win, he still gets a ring.
Yeah.
Because he played for the team.
Absolutely. And text says, morning. Aaron and Mr. Sawyer, LeBron win a championship for LA in the NBA bubble for when more than half of teams' players opt out to be with families. So don't forget Murray Nuggets got hurt in the playoffs.
Hey. Let's not forget Kyrie got hurt in 2015. Kevin Love got hurt in 2015. I didn't hear any noise about it. Oh, LeBron is king. Let him go to the championship and get the ring against the Warriors. Hey. Let's not forget that the Warriors went out to the Hamptons and they begged Kevin Durant to come there because there was no way that they could beat LeBron in the finals ever again, in the playoffs ever again. As evidenced by the playoffs last year when they played LeBron again, this time without Kevin Durant. And what happened? The same result has happened in 2016. Listen, you all need four All-Stars to beat Bron, eh?
All right, Mr. Sawyer, let's take this call before we transition, and then I say my prayer for the day that the Bahamian people get an advocate in the same way that you advocate, James. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Miss Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
All right, thank you. That crybaby you have on your shirt right there.
Yes, sir.
I want him to know that they got to get kicked out. The Lakers got to get kicked out against Denver. Beyond a reasonable shadow of a doubt, okay? So I don't want him to put up his high praises and put up all those banners and all those stuff. Don't get too excited, my brother. Ain't nothing happening. Y'all ain't getting past Denver, okay? And another thing, Mr. Sawyer, I want to hear what you have to say about Brandon Ayuk leaving the 49ers. Explain that to me.
All right, quickly.
Good morning, Mr. Mystery Dolphin. Firstly, secondly, Brandon Ayuk is going nowhere.
Yes, he's going.
He ain't going nowhere. He have to play on his contract firstly. We already said that if we can't extend him, he can play on that rookie deal. That's the first thing. Second thing is, all of this crybaby talk. Listen, I'm a Jordan fan too, you know. But you have to understand, the same way baseball has now gone from a great game being 2-1 to now the game being 8-6 and not being a great game. From the fact that you came at the Atlanta Braves last year, they were supposed to win the ring, and they fell short in the playoffs. The game.
I mentioned nothing no baseball. I talking about
nobody
right now. What
nobody
wants.
Nobody wants to say that there's no competition to Jordan. If Jordan going to play 20 years, why he didn't play 20 years?
Let me ask you a question before you leave.
He had the year that he had the broken leg. Okay, good. He scored 69 points against the Celtics. That same year when he came back, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're right. Good.
He's still lost. Nobody said anything but that, but they talk about the 69 points.
So let me ask you a question. Are you counting that bubble championship?
I have to count the bubble championship because if he did lose, you know what Jordan can count? The bubble championship.
Well, listen,
all haters was going to start up and say, oh, well, guess what? He even had no fans there and he couldn't win. Not that he won it. Oh, and half the tears wasn't even there. And blah, 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 blah. So don't do it. Don't do that.
Thank you very much, caller. Mr. Sawyer, I can be like Minnis. I ain't counting the snap election either. Leave it up to me. I ain't counting it. So good on you.
LeBron did lose, but if LeBron lost, I'd say, oh, boy, listen to me.
He's over.
He's old. He can't win. The second line that we can come up with, oh, well, listen, he was a play for the Heat, so he's just trying to give a ring back to Spoelstra. Listen, with the storyline, it would have been crazy.
Anyway, listen, I got one more call. Producer, get the music ready for the break. After this call, we got to go to a break. My guest has joined me in studio, Mr. Stanley Mitchell. Let's go to the next call, producer. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning.
Morning.
I hear the gentleman talking, right? I think Philly is going to beat the Knicks.
76 is going to beat the Knicks.
Yeah, man. I don't see them
going
far.
Me too.
And Boston now... Miami, this player's hard, but I think without Jimmy Butler, they could be in problem. I think Chicago might get them.
All right.
Yeah, boy, but no Jimmy Butler. Yeah, and then there's no Julius Randle for the Knicks either.
Thank you very much, caller. Well, I tell you, as we close out this section, Mr. Sawyer, looking at the regular season standings, I could believe a seventh seed could be the second seed because when you look at the bottom half of the standings, right? You, as a layman and a novice, that the Knicks achieved that second seed because 11th through 15th seed are just horrible. How you end the season with 14 to 14 wins and 68 losses. I'm sure the Knicks shouldn't be in second place because the Pistons shouldn't have lost 107 games this season. You see what I'm saying? Go over to the Trailblazers side. DeAndre Ayton, we're glad that you pulled out that effort at the end of the season, and we hope you could sustain that and meet the next season, the 2024-2025 season, with that same fire. Next week, I'm going to do some more investigation. I hear DeAndre been in the news. I'm a little concerned. We'll do some more research on that. Thank you for joining, Mr. So. You could, if you want to stay, you could stay. We're talking organizing major sporting events in small island developing states when we get back from the break. You guys stay tuned to On the Clock with Aaron Green, Eric Sawyer III. We'll be right back.
Gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can convene right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. On the Clock with Aaron Green. I want to say thank you to Eric Sawyer III for joining me this morning to bring some context and sense to the stats, to the NBA playoff and play-in stats. Joining me this morning is Mr. Stanley Mitchell. Mr. Stanley Mitchell is a sports historian, and he has a wealth of institutional knowledge and expertise around sports organizing. And I've asked him to join me today to bring some context to the information that we would have read over the last couple of days in the local papers. Here are the headlines that I am referring to. $7 million overspend on sports events. That was in yesterday's paper, Nassau Tribune. In The Guardian yesterday, improper handling of Corifta funds. In yesterday's Tribune, Corifta TV payment cut in half. And then I've got some other Team Bahamas stories. I should have maybe read them in the first half. They're not about the politics. They're just about celebrating the athletes. But these are the articles and the discussions that we would have started yesterday. And with Mr. Mitchell's experience, I hope to expand the conversation by providing greater context from someone who has been involved in this aspect of the sporting world, as well as being an historian generally. Mr. Mitchell, and maybe you want to give a brief introduction of yourself as well.
Good morning, Aaron. Thanks for inviting me. Here we are again, going over the same old, same old, same old. You know, I've been around track and field particularly for, I would say, over 45 years, in and out of its workings. In 1976, Charifta came to the Bahamas for the first time. It was a success. In 1977, they realized that, wow, we got to take a team to Barbados, never done it before. In fact, Charifta was the first international track and field event here in the Bahamas. I was asked to provide a charter for that 77 Charifta team and fans and friends. I've been involved in and out ever since. Up until, I'm going to fast forward because we don't have much time, 2013, I was involved with the staging of the Charifta Games here in the Bahamas. People like Monty Braithwaite, Basil Christie was asked to be the head of the local organizing committee, and Shervin Stewart practically ran everything. And it was a success. We made money. After that, those games, Shervin Stewart did a synopsis and analysis and put everything in writing as a blueprint for any organization that wanted to run such type games. Games came back here in 2018, and this whole thing was ignored by some new people. For the life of me, I still don't understand how you could be running track and field as an organization, the Bahamas Association of Athletic Associations, all through the years. But when a meet comes here, government, who provides most of the funding for it, decides they're going to appoint a local organizing committee to take over all of the running of the games, as if these people don't know what they're doing, even though they do it all the time, and I'm going to appoint these people. And it's, ever since, it's been a disaster, and it keeps getting worse. And you wouldn't believe that some of the people who were on, this thing came out late, the report from the Auditor General, but there's some people who were asked to guard the throne or the monies in the Charifta Games are now a part of the organizing committee for the World Relays.
Mm-hmm.
So what you expect to come out of that?
Right, so one of the most important, I think, questions that need to be answered is what will change in terms of the management of the events? What will change internally, externally, between now and the World Athletic Relays to give the Bahamian populace who's paying for these events the confidence that we won't experience the same deficits and cost overruns?
Well, I've had a number of emails and WhatsApps from concerned and field people who are asking the question of the Auditor General to, if he can go ahead and be ahead of this games, even though it's right upon us, and ask some salient questions about some people that seem to be added to a list that was put out the other day as a support team for the World Relays. And in it, you'll see a doctor of some dubious, citizenship, and two, a chiropractor and a masseuse, who we know to be a foreign extract.
So, a question: if we look at the, article "Improper Handling of Charifta Funds" in yesterday's Guardian, the bottom half of that article, there's a subtitle in the article called "Recommendations." It says the Auditor General made recommendations for each of the shortcomings observed in the audit. would it be right? Perhaps the question is, would it be possible for the Auditor General to make a detailed manual, right? Whatever manual that the previous team would have worked from, can the Auditor General's team or office facilitate with the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture to ensure that there is a working manual and that every member of the team understands the constraints, the policies, the protocols within which the organization of this event should take place?
I think you're missing a step. In the Auditor General's mind, it was done, not to the extent that you're saying, but he also used the wording in his report that most of them were ignored. They were in place as far as he was concerned.
That the manual that exists is sufficient
to run
right,
a game.
That's not the issue. The issue is the compliance to the protocols provided in the manual.
And the ongoing thing that his office is understaffed, so we get a year later the report that we should have gotten 3 months after the games, and we know that Bahamians forget everything, so this report coming now again and again, nobody gets put on the spot.
And the timing of the release of reports is important as well,
right?
Because this has come at a time where some people will say, we don't have the time to deal with or delve into the findings of this report because we are on the heels of World Athletic Relays,
right,
when the report itself is telling you that perhaps
you need
to pause before you go any further with World Athletic Relays organizing.
Some of these people are asking, at least they know what you just said can't happen, but not to delve into the whole thing, but tell me why a Clausen husband and wife team are on this team, support team for World Relays in the Bahamas, and they're asking the Auditor General to please find out how much they're being paid, what's the, you know, their everything, transportation, travel here, and the whole works.
And from my layman's perspective, what is the criteria or what warrants the employment of or engagement of these foreign experts? Practitioners have not met a criteria set by World Athletics?
No. And it is not said by World Athletics. It's said by the country. And we've had people go to many games at different levels, still live here, still practice the same, and still working with athletes. So with
there's
them,
no lack of local knowledge or expertise that would necessarily warrant that.
Right.
Now, these technicians, right, the doctors, are they working solely with Team Bahamas, or are they available
solely with Team Bahamas?
Everybody else brings in their own
people,
medical and technical
people. You don't have time for everybody to go to one set of people anymore.
Can we get rid of this? Right? We're going to hire foreigners. We're not concerned about whether they're locals or not. Do away with that by implementing in a tertiary institution like the University of the Bahamas a training unit where the government says investing in the infrastructure for a Sporting in Paradise brand, whatever that is, that we are producing the technical expertise required to operate that as a sovereign entity. So
that's not necessary. You're in a country that has the needs of these people on an ongoing basis, just like nurses, doctors, and everybody else. You don't have to go and do a special thing for doctors or chiropractors. I mean, they're here, they work. And physiotherapists, they work.
Right.
And all you have to do is say, give me 2 days, you get your per diem and whatever else, and they'd be happy to do
To lend their expertise.
I've seen these two names before at the 2012 Olympic Games, and they were there, but we had people there, and we wondered at the time, what the hell are they doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And you get some flimsy excuse, but, you know. Some things are paid for and some things are bought. But I'm saying right now, as Prime Minister, and after I get that report, I'm going to run to the Auditor General and say, come, give me some things that I could take right now to World Relays and stop some foolishness from happening.
Absolutely.
Italian points. This must be obeyed.
We have a local organizing committee, this entity we call the LOC, right? Is a part of the issue the way that the LOC has been created and the way that its function has been described? For instance, it appears as if we form a new LOC every sporting event.
Right. And in our wisdom, some good people of sports have asked, even during the last CARIFTA, can we have a standing LOC that every sport can come to, knowing that they have the basics of how to run a sport?
Yes.
And they can help you in any aspect of your sport. Transportation to and from the airport, to and from the site of the games and all that stuff is standard stuff.
And it's so important.
It's important, but there are people who you can have run it for any
event,
other things. But we seem to take, that you give one person, you say, you're head of this LOC. Fella, he doesn't even have to know anything about the sport, and they appoint him. And he doesn't come as a baby. He comes as a raging bull and says, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
You sit there and watch him do cost overruns, and there's nothing you can say because he's been appointed by the people who pay in for the party.
Mm-hmm.
So the caterer says, I can order 100 more dinners or this and that, and you can't do anything and watch it. I'm going, those who know their sport know that's foolishness, what they're doing, and we have no say. So it's come to a point now that we have to lose a lot of money for people to now, their eyes to open, and I hope, you know, we could put a stop to some of the foolishness that happens.
Absolutely. I want to encourage local athletes who may have aged out of their professional career to consider all of the sort of gaps in the local infrastructure that we need. I'm hoping that senior and sort of retired athletes, and even...
You don't seem to get it. We have.
Right, but I'm hoping that they are considering... because they have the overall problem is a lack of organization, right?
No, that's not it.
Okay, well, tell me.
We have the organizational skills to... In 2002, the CARIFTA Games were held here.
Right.
Let's go back. 76, 78, 81, 84.
Now, but 76
We've done it.
47 years ago.
Yeah, but we've kept doing it.
Right. But how much has been how much of the institutional knowledge has leaked out and been lost?
It's still there. It's still around. You can still get it.
Who is or what is the key entity ensuring that anybody working in the space is informed? There is a network, an entity that they can plug into to get... So I'm a professional. I come into the space. I've been given a task. And I say to the people who've given me the task, hold on, guys. Y'all have information. I don't know what it is you expect to be produced, right? But I'm going to need access to far more information to achieve the results that you intend to achieve.
You got me confused, and we're saying, why are you here
in the first place? So how then do the people on the ground present themselves, if not to the government, because the government already knows who you are, but now you're looking to me, a private citizen, to endorse this new model, to say, hey, I am agreeing with the experts in the field that this is the model that we should use. How are the experts in the field presenting themselves to the public with this model? At least for outside of this conversation, for a broader conversation, to say what you're saying. Listen, there are obviously problems, but there are obviously people in the space that can fix them. and we're prepared to fix them.
I don't understand the question.
But the question is, the government, the expertise is there. Apparently, state actors and government agencies don't care. They intend on doing things the way that they do things, and they are the government.
Oh, that's yeah. Easy, because the people in charge have a quid pro. They have a problem. They get all their funding from the government, and it's hard to say, we're not doing that, Chief. We're going to run this, or there's no games.
Right.
And then you get no funding for the next 5 years to help your development programs in your organization. So it's a difficult choice to make.
Right, and I can see that sort of tension and the balance that must be found. We see it in other organizational spaces. How do I, and I feel the impact of it, because people say to me, how am I going to critique, right, provide this critique of the government and what they're doing, while at the same time I'm relying on the government for funding, and the government may be my largest funder, right? But I think there are elements in society, there should be organizations, groups of advocates in the sporting world that are bold enough to get up and say, no, government, it don't work that way. You are obligated to provide these funds. And we don't have an obligation to do. You're not the expert in the field. Your job is to allow the experts to identify where the resources are needed and why.
And the people to carry it out.
And the human resource, right.
Internally, and say, well, we'll get him and him, and you have to accommodate them and pay them.
Right.
But we believe that they could help us, because we've seen them in the field being able to do it, but not a whole new person with all kinds of power to hire and do things and ignore even the president of the organization.
Right, and the critique does not inherently imply malfeasance. I think one of the biggest issues with the government is, because of its size.
It's ignorance.
It's ignorance because of its size and its inability to move at the pace required for the very policy that they're dipping their toe in.
Right.
And so, like, the state doesn't understand these audits need to be produced faster, because these agencies need to have access to this information so that they can improve, so that they can restructure or reorganize, or so that they can identify, they can say, right, well, the team didn't work. We need to identify new actors right now, not new as in new on the scene, but we need to identify different people whose skill set will work together and hopefully do a better job. Is right? It could just be that because of its size, there's a degree of ignorance and a lack of speed.
You're right, and it is a degree of size and having the ability to have hands-on control. You buy your kid a pair of shoes, and they come in 6 months and say, I need a pair of shoes. And you say, well, I just bought you that. This happens in these organizations too. When something comes up, they got to buy all new computers, all new this. But they just had a games and they bought those very same things.
Right. Yes.
And nobody says, we're not going to give it to you. Spend.
Right.
Because you got to have it. We don't know who took it. It's just crazy.
And so even in what appears to me to be a crisis, $7 million overspend is a crisis, there's opportunity, right? In particular for young people interested in sports to say, look here, let me look at the infrastructure, see where the gaps are, and how I can fill the gap or support to improve what it is that they do and how they do it to grow the space as a whole. Mr. Mitchell, I got to have you back on. We didn't even delve into the articles.
Oh, my God, time's gone.
Yes, sir. Or Mr. Boleg's response defending oversight of the games. Dear sir, here's what we need. Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture need 3 junior ministers for each ministry. And then they need a ministerial team.
To be fair to them, in this instance, they had a rookie minister, mm-hmm. a rookie PS, and a rookie director.
I mean, we've analyzed, what they call that? We've analyzed it right there.
Yeah.
But autopsy.
Yeah, but they're in...
We're all out of time, Mr. Mitchell. I'm going to invite you back next week to continue this conversation. An autopsy of a sporting brand. We're going to get back on it. Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. Thank you, producer. We're out of time. Guardian Radio, AM with C.A. Nuri is up next. And don't forget, Clifton Heritage for World Heritage Day activities all day today. Have a great day, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.